And blood-black nothingness began to spin, a system of cells interlinked within cells interlinked within cells interlinked within one stem, and dreadfully distinct against the dark, a tall white fountain played a podcast. Have you ever fought rabbits? Cells. Interlinked. Interlinked. Oh.
I know that.
Like what a cake song, like, reluctantly crouched at the starting line.
No, what that's... Oh.
I thought for sure, Brian, you were going
like, to I know
me,
it.
Hit me it's back like, with repeating cells at me and then interlinked and then cells.
What? Give me a hint on that. I know that.
It's a fairly recent movie. It's a scene from the movie.
Oh, where it's Blade Runner.
2049.
Yeah. 2049.
Oh. We all
Dreamboat heard Ryan Gosling. Yeah.
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 That's a good one. It's like one thing I knew it. I just couldn't picture it in my head playing of what that scene was.
Good old Denny Villeneuve.
It also sounds like a Front 242 song from the 90s.
It could be. Totally. You need a couple of power chords in there.
Belgium's famous Front 242. The only thing Belgium is famous for other than ale.
And waffles. Chocolate.
What's that? Belgium?
We just came up with two things immediately. Waffles. That's chocolate. True. Yeah.
And Hitler completely going around the Maginot Line,
yeah,
through Belgium.
That's. I think we all remember France as being the idiots in that one. When traveling, I met a couple from Belgium, and it was the only people I ever met from Belgium. And I said, "I've never been to Belgium. What's it like?" And they said, "It's awful. You should not go. It rains all the time, and we try to spend as much time away from there as we can." I was like, "Oh, great. Okay. That's terrible. I guess I don't want to go to Belgium now."
I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme is from there, so
the muscles from
Brussels.
Brussels,
yeah.
Are Brussels sprouts
called Brussels sprouts? Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to step on it. I was actually asking about Brussels sprouts.
His children are called Brussels sprouts. You see,
I'm gonna tell that joke again, and I'll edit it correctly.
Small, they're tiny.
I want to say Brussels sprouts are the same thing as broccoli, genetically. They just grow differently.
Interesting. See, yeah. You know what, kids?
This is an informative
podcast. This is the kind of stuff you learn here.
I heard that they had that on PragerU's website. So, like, I think it's a U for university, I think. Yeah. So it's probably true. Yeah.
If you want fact checking, go listen to Joe Rogan, everybody.
Do your own research. Do your own research.
Look at Joe Rogan money. That'd be no one wants to sponsor us. If Jersey Mike's is out there, I would love a sponsorship.
Oh, totally. I'd do that in a second. Quality sandwich.
Yes. A sub above.
Quality sandwich. That's a sub above, is what I say.
Damn it. It only took us 22 episodes to totally sell out.
When I'm casually talking with my friends about sandwiches, I often say that Jersey Mike's, they're a sub above.
Chills. I got chills.
Yeah.
On that note, welcome to Rabbit Fighters Friends. I'm Joshua.
I am Brian, and I love a 13 on wheat.
You're B. Ryan.
I am not a hard worker. It's an inappropriate name.
And I'm Greg, and I love myself a nice grinder.
All right. So on this week's edition, we're tackling Jerry Seinfeld's foray into animated comedy, such as it is. In the 2007 DreamWorks flick, B-Movie. So apparently the legend goes that Jerry Seinfeld and Steven Spielberg were having lunch together one day, and Jerry mentioned the premise to this movie as a quote-unquote joke, and Spielberg thought it was such a great idea, and then this thing was wrought upon an unsuspecting world. It was nominated for at least 16 awards, winning none of them, other than the Oklahoma Film Critics Circle Award in the category of not so obviously worst film. It still somehow earned $295 million worldwide after costing just $27 million to make.
That's not right.
That is right.
I thought I read it was $150 million to make. Not to. All right, go ahead.
According to Google, it was $27
million. We're going to fact check that.
Well, any way you slice it, if you do the math right, that means there's no
made
God.
Money. Yeah. Mathematical formula for no God is 290 no God. Million.
Any profit made off of this undermines any sense of justice in the world. So, despite that, it includes the voice acting talents of Jerry Seinfeld, Renee Zellweger, John Goodman, Chris Rock, Matthew Broderick, Patrick Warburton, aka Putty from Seinfeld, Kathy Bates, Rip Torn, and of course Michael Richards, because he knows Jerry Seinfeld. So if you've never seen B-Movie, I encourage you to stay tuned to our show so that we can spare you the hour and a half of your life that you'll never get back. So Greg, you picked this one. So what in tarnation, man?
This movie is so fucking weird.
So why is it so weird?
You know, like Seinfeld is famous for being a show about nothing, but this shit is a movie about everything. Like, it just forgot every rule from Seinfeld.
Well, Larry David was not involved in this.
Famously. I know. So, like, this is a movie where it starts out and you're like, hey, look, it's bees, and they're driving around in little cars. And like,
why are they driving around in cars?
I don't know, because they're lazy, and the cars apparently go 150 miles an hour.
I didn't even notice that.
So it starts out as like little fat bees, like making little jokes, and you're like, okay, it's a little Seinfeld is a bee, you know, it'll be Seinfeld, but with bees. I guess sometimes it is, like he meets a lady who's a human, but she kind of like falls for him, and he kind of falls for her. And then he finds himself in the outside world, and he's trying to avoid being killed by Patrick Warburton as Renee Zellweger's sort of boyfriend.
Are they married? Okay. And tennis?
Like tennis and yogurt. Fucking
tennis
yogurt
jokes?
Night! A lot of yogurt jokes. I don't know why yogurt was funny in 2007, but it was trending, I guess. But it goes from there to be like the bee finds out the great injustice of the world, the honey is being stolen by humans. And this enrages this normally very placid bee. And he sets out to right the wrongs that human society have wrought against bees by stealing their honey. So he takes it to court.
It becomes 12 angry men.
But somehow everyone just agrees that the bees are right. And so we can't have honey anymore. But then the entire world dies because bees make the entire world live somehow. And right before the last crop of flowers on planet Earth get wasted for the fucking rose parade in Pasadena, because humanity is that stupid, get the roses somehow by stealing a float and wrapping it up onto an airplane. The airplane gets hit by lightning. They have to learn how to land a plane with Renee Zellweger as a pilot and a series of bees under the plane. And then it keeps going.
I have to question Steven Spielberg's sanity that he thought this was a good idea.
I can see this playing out, okay, into where this was a funny premise, like over coffee for 35 right. seconds. Like, right. you know, like you're having tea or something. You're like, honey, huh? Like, what if the bees were mad that we stole all their honey? Like, that'd be kind of funny, right? And you could be like,
good
I
one.
I guess it's kind of funny premise to think about. Does it? And then I don't know if I'd go and turn it into a fully fledged animated feature film, but I think it should have ended there and be like, yeah, it'd be kind of funny if the bees were mad. Like, all right, let's get out of here. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Well, apparently the talk between Jerry Seinfeld and Steven Spielberg went like this. Jerry Seinfeld, hey, you know the old bee movies that people used to make? Wouldn't it be funny if it was a movie about bees and it was called Bee Movie? That was the discussion. And Spielberg was like, oh, that's hilarious. A bee movie, but it's bees.
This makes me angrier than it should.
That's a better premise than what they came up with, honestly.
And usually when they have nothing to go on, it actually makes a better movie because they can't ruin the source material.
They could have gone in any number of directions.
Yeah, other than like casting all these famous people for nothing.
I mean, there's some good voices in there, but I don't know if anyone else had this reaction, but I cannot stand Renee Zellweger's voice. I mean, she's fine in movies and stuff, but for some reason, when it's just her voice isolated in this one very strange character of a human forest, whose last name is Bloom. Hilarious.
Well, the jokes
just
never stop.
Every word that came out of her mouth, I was just like, this is a terrible character, and her voice drives me up the wall.
I'm the opposite. I actually hate Renee Zellweger in movies. I hate her face. I think she's annoying. She makes crinkly faces all the time. And
I was trying to be nice, but yes.
I prefer her as a disembodied voice.
Joke's on them because they went and paid all this money to get these celebrities, but you could really put homeless people in this voices, and I would have cared, couldn't have cared less. I was like, why all these famous people? Like
shelter
like,
and money.
Yeah, did they read the script? Like, you know, Jerry is just like texting or calling him. It's like, come on.
The one guy that I have no trouble believing they got at this point was 1 year after post N-word comedy club tirade Michael Richards.
Wait, who was he in it? Who was he in it?
It was a year after.
He was like an air traffic controller.
He was the air traffic controller, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't even pick up on that.
You're going to land that plane. A flower in the runway. He's an N-word. He's an N-word. It's like you hired him after that. He must have been really good friends.
Who knows? Yeah,
the right. John Goodman as a strangely southern lawyer.
John Goodman is
in
like
New York City.
He's Foghorn Leghorn lawyer. That's what he is. It's like, hey, I'll say, my britches are burning.
God. So stupid. Sting. Yeah, you said Sting is in it. Sting. I was excited when I heard Sting was in it, but then I was like, oh, he's playing himself. Never mind.
So no cod piece,
the whole
Joshua.
Point is that his name is a pun or something. That's the only reason
they brought him in. They're like,
why was Ray Liotta in it?
I don't
that's
know.
That's the funniest part of the movie. That's the funniest part of the movie. The Ray Liotta's select honey. That's a solid joke.
It's so weird.
It's
very bizarre.
So this is a kids movie.
Ostensibly.
And you know, that's the thing is like whenever you make a kids movie, you kind of have to like also make it for their parents so that it's tolerable. And so I feel like on the one hand, it's kind of wrong for us to come down so hard on a kids movie. But on the other hand, no, fuck you. This is terrible. If I was a parent at that time, I would feel very upset that I got dragged into this film in the theater. So I get that there's like jokes that are supposed to be for the parents to get. Like, we put Ray Liotta in a cartoon and didn't explain it for any reason.
That is hilarious, man.
I look at other like kids movies or any film to a certain extent asks you to like set aside disbelief. Like, it's happening in its own, but it has to work within its own universe. And from the cars the bees are driving for no reason when they can fly, and they do often.
They have stairs.
They have radio through their antenna to talk to each other. They can talk to humans and humans can talk to them back. Like, none of this shit makes sense in and of itself. Like, the universe they've constructed is inherently just wrong. And I think at the end of the day, that's the foundation of my hatred. I rest my case, Your Honor.
Your Honor.
The real problem is, like, this is a kid's movie without a single joke for kids. I watched it with my kids and they were like, dear God, what is this shit pile? Joke for kids. They're all like Seinfeld jokes and like B puns. There's no kids material. So there's really no audience. That's the target audience for this. Cause adults are like, these bees look terrible. This animation looks like shit. This movie is weird. And kids are like, I think nothing in this is funny.
That's a very good point. It starts off okay within the context of its own like hive universe. I thought that was the only kind of interesting, like, hey, you're done, go to work. And all we do is work in the hive. Like, that's funny in a way. Yeah. Like, you know, and Hunex and all these like honey corporations, like that's like kind of the making of like a funny premise. Like, you know,
there's
that's
a caste system. And
Yeah. Like that all falls into line. And it's like, as soon as you graduate school, you have a job for the rest of your life and then you die. And it's like, I'm a worker bee. Get it? Joke. Right. And then, but once it leaves the hive, it makes no sense. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, because I think to your point, like the Bugs Life, things can be wacky in the context of their own little world. But then as soon as you put them into the human world and have them start doing weird interactions with humans, it makes no sense. I can't see a child liking this, but I mean, aside from just like moving things in colors and animation, I don't know, like, just like if you're if you're less than a year old and you're just like, yay, colors, I don't know.
I'll tell you where I think that the movie goes sideways forever And it's the moment that Jerry Seinfeld's bee gets stuck to a tennis ball and then served in the tennis game. The beginning movie that we had where you're like, hey, bee culture. And it's a lot like America, where we just come through school and go right into a job and then work ourselves to death. You know, and he leaves the hive and it's like all out the fucking window. And he gets served back and forth in the tennis game. And he doesn't die, and then he gets thrown into New York City traffic. My kids are watching it. Pearl was going, dead. He's dead. Now he's dead. And he like goes through the hot engine of a car. She's like, dead.
Yeah. Got high-fived. He's dead.
Yeah. She's like, and then it starts raining. She's like, no, they can't fly in the rain. Dead. Nope. Like, yeah, no.
It's just awful. And I agree with you. The second the tennis scene started, I was just like, this is irredeemable. But slightly before that, like, there's this caste system and there's like the hotshot jock guys who fly around to collect the honey outside jocks. The hive. Yeah, the pollen jocks. And he's aspiring to be one of them, but he can't, obviously, because it's not like he's not genetically, you know, made to do that. So he's like hitting on these chicks, and then they overhear it and they're like, oh, why don't you show up tomorrow and then we'll fly out together. And so he does. And guess what? Not a problem. He fucking keeps up with them the entire time, not getting wind. The entire time I'm like, so he gets winded or he's getting left behind or like you just set this whole thing up that there's no possible way he's as good as them. And yet he's fucking flying circles around them. Like, this makes no sense. It's such sloppy fucking writing.
Also, how shitty is bee school that the bee doesn't understand how pollination works and how that impacts the flowering of other things like fruits and vegetables?
One
like,
job.
Yeah. He's so flabbergasted at the fact that he just basically kills the entire earth because he's a fucking idiot. It's like, did he not learn that? Like, what that is? It's like,
why he didn't learn it is because none of it is true. Male bees stay in the hive. They don't go out of the hive. All they do is mate with the queen and make more bees. Only the females go out. Only the females have stingers. Bees pollinate stuff and it makes fruit and they leave. But like, if they don't pollinate stuff, it doesn't die, just doesn't make fruit. The plants just come right back again and try again and make flowers. Also, this is just America that the bees go on strike. It isn't the rest of the world.
Canada's fucking doing fine. Like
Canada would be pumping out all kinds of like bootleg honey to America. Like
after that trial was over, I just with all my soul wanted the next scene to be the spinning newspaper, and it comes in a Supreme Court overrules ridiculous fucking judgment. The end.
And I was like, what is going on? Why is there one judge and it's Oprah?
And if it's the Supreme Court, why is there a jury?
That's what I'm saying. Why is there a jury? And then when they make the decision, he finally makes this like last speech and the jury claps and the judge is like, I find in favor of the bee. And like, aren't you supposed to withdraw to your chambers? And the jury talks it over and then they come out and they reveal to the judge what the verdict is.
Bees have no fucking standing, all right? I'm no lawyer, but I know bees don't have standing in a legal court. So
John Goodman's opening speech where he says, am I to barter with a silkworm for the elastic in my britches? I was like, that is a solid argument, my friend.
Sold.
Where does it end?
The linchpin in this whole case was when they bring out the smoker.
Yeah.
But the smoke doesn't harm bees. So
it just makes them
sleepy or something. Yeah. It's like, why was that bad? I don't.
They needed a pun for smoking gun. Like, this entire movie was nothing but a series of like alley-oops for Jerry Seinfeld to deliver a one-liner and fucking bee puns. Like, that's the entirety of it. Like, all the humor is derived from those two things.
You know what line I really do like in it? When the David Putty guy loses his fucking mind and makes an aerosol can into a blowtorch and tries to burn down Renee Zellweger's apartment, he falls into the tub and he like pulls a mop away or something from the drain. There's like this bug there and she goes, water bug, not taking sides. I actually laughed my ass off at.
I'm trying to think if there was a genuinely
laugh at that one too.
Funny line in
that. That was funny. I was like, that's funny. I think Ray Liotta's Private Select is fucking hilarious. I don't know why. It's just so funny. It's like Paul Newman, but with like Ray Liotta. It's just the worst choice. That's funny. Like every once in a while, I would like say out loud to people who were booing the movie, like, that was funny. That was actually funny. That thing was funny.
I want to say the Chris Rock was like,
oh,
a little.
It was okay.
I mean, he had like one line that was like, you kind of knew it was coming, like mosquito, bloodsucker, lawyer. Yeah, I was like, okay, you kind of walked into that one. But
dude, there were some racist jokes in there, man, where I was like,
didn't Jerry Seinfeld call him blood at one point?
He calls him, yeah, he's like, hey, blood. There's at one point Seinfeld's B goes, what am I going to do? Start calling everyone dog? And he does like a like chest thing. And I was like, oh, boy.
Did I miss that? What the fuck?
I might have gone to the movie at that point.
I may have been on my phone for a minute.
And then he's talking to Chris Rock and the air horn of a truck. And Chris Rock is like, yeah, nobody likes a mosquito. Which, by the way, male mosquitoes don't suck blood, but whatever. He was like, yeah, nobody likes a mosquito.
I didn't know that. But
yeah, only female mosquitoes suck blood. Males just.
We got the entomology corner over here.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah,
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And they make the black guy like a mosquito, like the worst bug ever. I was like, it's kind of crappy. I thought that scene in the windshield, though, is funny where he's like, oh my God, all these bugs are dead. And Chris Rock's like, I'm not dead. Ladybug is like, I'm not dead either. He's like, how about you, Cricket? And Chris Rock is like, oh, he's really dead.
You know, you're trying to find redeeming qualities in this.
But I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Because in that same scene, the fucking truck drivers are like, what's that noise? Can you hear a fucking bug talking? No, you can't.
He's like, it sounds like tiny screaming.
Turn the radio down. Like, and the whole scene is like, he's following a honey truck back to the apiary where they're harvesting all the, you know, the hard work for honey. Yeah. And what was I getting at? I totally lost track trying to explain what a honey truck is.
It's a truck
with honey on it.
Before that, he goes to this warehouse and
grocery
there's
store or
a warehouse worker who can hear him and starts sword fighting him. It's just like, I don't, any sense of good being or well-being within me still at this point in the movie is completely gone. And I'm just like, fuck this trash. This is just the worst thing ever.
Well-being spelled B-E-E.
We were watching it and my son was like, is he having a sword fight with a thumbtack? I'm like, yes, he is. Yes, he is, son. He's fighting a scrawny dock worker with a thumbtack and winning.
Yeah, that tracks.
We haven't even talked about the fact that like Matthew Broderick has a very large role for some reason, and it had zero impact. Like, why?
Ferris Bueller, he's fallen so far.
He's just there to be like, oh, no, don't do that. Oh, well, I guess they'll support you.
He's fallen in love with a human.
Yeah, they're like, and of course, the major rule, never talk to humans. And then Jerry Seinfeld goes out, talks to a human right away, comes back and is like, I talked to a human and she's kind of into me. And they're all like, oh, no. Oh, well.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal.
It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, really.
And the scene where it turns out like not pollinating causes instant death for all flora all over the world. Immediately.
Massive lie, yeah.
She's totally gaslighting him into it being all his fault.
Yeah!
Like, she was his fucking counsel.
She was sitting with him during the whole trial.
None of this would have been possible if you hadn't gotten involved, lady. And then she's trying to make it sound like, oh, this is all Jerry Seinfeld B's fault.
She mailed the legal motion. Oh, she put the letter in the mailbox for him and sits with him in court. And then she's with him the whole way until they get to that one scene where she's like, I'm going to the Tournament of Roses where the last flowers on earth that live are... cut and pasted onto cars. And then he flies after the cab and then suddenly she hates him. She's like, it's all your fault. I don't want to see your face. Yeah. I hope you die.
And she bears no responsibility whatsoever for it. It's just like, it's the most infuriating scene. Like,
yeah, that was a tough scene. It really stung.
Fuck you, Brian.
Little known fact, Brian is writing B Movie 2 right yeah, now with Seinfeld.
He's done talking about it. He's just in the background. What else do we say about this goddamn movie?
We haven't even talked about the ending where they fly a plane or the bees
they
help
fly a plane.
Lift a plane. An entire plane.
Land it. How did that happen?
Well, first of all, the bee comes into the cabin and one pilot sucks the toupee off another pilot.
Yeah.
And then
hilarious.
He gets conked in the head and he falls unconscious. And then that triggers the inflatable raft that bonks the other pilot in the head and knocks him unconscious. And then the plane gets struck by lightning, which apparently happens thousands of times a year. And planes are designed to be struck by lightning and have nothing happen to them.
I saw the part where they're about to fly into the storm and then I left the room and then I came back.
To throw up.
I said that when you said lightning, I was like, I don't remember lightning, but now it all makes sense.
Yeah, so
lightning hits the plane. Yeah.
B. Jerry tells Renee Zellweger's character that Barry. You have to fly the plane because the two pilots are knocked unconscious. She's like, oh, this isn't so hard. This is really easy. It turns out it's on autopilot, but then the lightning hits the plane, which knocks the autopilot off. And then they have to figure out how to actually fly a plane. Yeah. And then chaos ensues. Right. But the B calls his B pals and they all help to lift and then land the plane safely. It's so fucking dumb. How much did that fucking, you know, I'd be curious, like, how strong is a bee? Like,
not that strong. Not that strong at all.
How many bees would it take to hold up an entire jet?
It's apparently an airplane travels 500 miles an hour at top speed and bees can go 30. So there's a little bit of math to contend with there.
And according to the adorable bumblebees that fall asleep in my yard all the time, like, they get pretty tired pretty easily. So
tired. It's a good thing that plane wasn't smoking out of the back, because, you know,
oh, good Lord,
put the whole flock to sleep.
There's many checkpoints in this movie that I was hoping it was just going to say the end, and it just kept going. Yeah.
They win the court case and you're like, well, this is the end.
Yeah, it's like, I was like, oh, good.
But wait, the world dies. And you're like, oh, well, I guess it's another apocalyptic movie. You're like, no, but wait, somehow when you sprinkle them over every single living thing on Earth, rose pollen fixes trees and daffodils and daisies and orange groves and whatever the fuck you sprinkled on.
Because science is too tight.
But magic. Greg, that certainly has to be end of the film, right?
Certainly, one would think, and yet it would not be.
There is yet another act to unfold in the B movie.
What was it?
Well, they reopen the flower shop and the bee becomes a lawyer.
Flower shop.
Jerry's a lawyer.
She's a florist and I'm a lawyer and we're in love or something.
I'll admit, I didn't like think that there was a love interest between the bee and the human.
Lifespan of honeybee. Workers average of 15 to 38 motherfucking days.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Which had a short lifespan. Jesus
Christ. It's usually the average court case takes about a year and a half to come to trial, so
movie makes me irrationally angry.
Yeah, there wasn't really, I don't think there was like a whole lot of thought in the script around fact.
They get all the honey back and then they're like, stop making honey. And then like they stop pollinating flowers and everything. It's like they don't have to stop pollinating flowers.
Yeah.
Like, they could just keep pollinating flowers.
Yeah, those two things do not follow at all.
Honey, you just don't have to. It would be fine.
It was like at that moment that I thought they were trying to do something really profound. Like there was like an underlying message to it. But then I immediately lost it. I was like, I don't know. Is it about labor relations? No, it can't be.
Yeah, it goes from like Seinfeld to like The Last Action Hero to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington to You've Got Mail. You're like, what the fuck is this thing? This is like eight movies that got stitched together by rich people.
And so, I had weird, like, the Graduate vibes in the beginning or something.
The pool scene.
Yeah.
He's from The Graduate. And they have the China syndrome with when they shut down the honey, they, like, turn the key and all this stuff.
There's so many movies within the movie. It's so complex. Oh,
it's so deep.
But I feel like this is just another indicator of the poor quality control that exists at DreamWorks, like, as opposed to, like, Pixar.
Yeah.
Because Pixar never would have come within a million miles of something this dumb. Looking at all of the DreamWorks animated movies, and there's a few pretty good ones, but it's mostly crap.
What else did they do around this time?
Over the Hedge, Flushed Away, Monsters and Aliens, Ants, which, you know, you can argue is
all right.
Is all right. Megamind, I actually kind of enjoyed Megamind. Shrek is a classic.
But How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon is not bad. Prince of Egypt, Joseph King of Dreams. What the fuck is that? The Madagascar movies.
Recently, though, I feel like Pixar has made some turds. Like, they stopped their streak of, like, unstoppably good movies. And I mean, like, Luca is like, the plot of Luca is like, he's a mermaid, but he likes Vespas.
I don't even know any of these. Like, I have kids.
We have kids. So yeah.
You guys have kids.
There's one that actually filled me with rage, and it was called, like, Onward, I think.
Onward's the D&D one with the dad dies, who's
and it's got
only half of him comes back.
Oh, the dad dies, and, like, they have, like, 24 hours to bring him back with this magical spell, and they spend 24 hours just fucking around and, like, wasting every hour of it.
Is it just me, or was there a shift from, like, when movies, these cartoons went from being for kids to actually, like, I think maybe Joshua said this earlier, like, to where they have to be acceptable for adults to sit through them or have adult themes. Parents pay for the movie tickets, and you know, if you can get them in the theater, and, you know,
but I think
tell their friends that, yes, take your kids to this, like, it's,
but to know. Bring it back to B movie though,
do we have to
all parents joke, you know what I mean, like, it's like I said, like, watching the other with kids watching it with kids, the kids were like, the kids laughed at the water bug. And the water bug was like, water bug here, not taking sides.
That's it? That's the only thing they laughed at?
I think that's about the only thing they laughed at. And I busted out laughing at that, so that I may have influenced them.
I mean, there's like little
funny... Does Jerry Seinfeld have kids?
Yeah.
I know he dates him. Hey-o!
He dated him, I know. He dated a high school girl. Oh, my God.
Please don't sue us, Jerry Seinfeld.
I can't say, had I not been forced to watch it, I would ever have experienced this movie. So
I did catch, like, maybe 20 minutes of it, like, maybe a year ago when my youngest started watching it, but I, like, walked in the room and was like, what is going on? And it was like, it was the love story part. I was like,
I don't think it's a love story. I'll defend. I think it is.
It's just platonic.
He says it a bunch of things, like, I met someone. She's like, he has a girlfriend and they do it, and they're like, we don't do it.
But she never acknowledges said anything, like, no, you know,
she,
like,
totally she, wants a bee in her bonnet.
She breaks up with Putty over him.
Yeah, Putty feels jealousy. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Rightfully fucking so.
he lost his wife to a bee.
The most reasonable response ever. Like, I used to sit in that seat, and now a bee is sitting in the seat.
Jerry's bee is, like, cutting, like, agar gel with a knife and fork or something. I'm like, this is so fucking weird. And then he goes bananas in the bathroom and, like, torches her apartment and, like, burns half her bathroom with an aerosol can. She comes in and she's like, hey, what's going on? I'm tired of you. I just want you to leave. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? You're burning my fucking house down. Like,
I'd be like, well, you're sleeping with a bee, so what the fuck?
When she first talks to the bee, and he's like, yeah, I'm a talking bee, and I'm on your countertop. She picks up a fork and stabs herself in the hand with a fork.
What?
Because she's losing her mind, because she's talking to a bee. That should have been where the credits roll.
Oh.
Even crazier, IMDb gave it a 6.7, and it's a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes audience score. I don't understand.
There's a lot of dumb people.
I have lost all faith in humanity from this movie, I think. It's broken me. Like I'm fucking done, guys.
I like Seinfeld. You know, I think he's funny. Yeah. Kind of interesting to in that vein. Like Seinfeld never really went into movies at all, which is kind of surprising as a comedian, you know, especially that became the trajectory, right? Of a standard comedian, whether you do sitcoms and then you like stop doing sitcoms and you go into films.
I don't think he likes being on camera. I think he is a stage guy. In the middle of the series, they have the meta Seinfeld.
Oh, the idea for the show.
Where they cast Seinfeld as Seinfeld. You know, and like he likes screen tests. And then he's like, I can't act. I stink. That is how he felt, probably.
And it's true. Like, if you watch Seinfeld, he's not a very good actor. He breaks all the fucking time. When he's trying to, like, be angry or yell, he's never acting. He's just being himself.
I love his yelling in Seinfeld. I use that with my kids when I'm mad at them, but not really mad at them. I'll be like, you know, what are you doing?
But I think what makes Seinfeld work is the writing and then the cast of characters that he built around it. He's not even that interesting in the show.
He's like 20% of the show because it's all
he doesn't care either.
Amazing characters, great.
Yeah, maybe he's just not that interesting to carry a movie in any way, shape, or form. So,
all right. Well, should we rate this thing?
I think so. Woo!
Do we need to?
Yeah.
Do we all have to give it B's? We all have to give it a B.
Oh, fuck you. God damn it. Okay. Grade scale. Is this Jack Nicholson now or Jack Nicholson 1974? Who would you like to bone?
Okay. Well, that changes a lot.
No, Meg Ryan.
All right. Who wants to rate this?
I don't know. I like how none of us want to rate this thing.
I'll do it. I'll go first.
Okay.
Right. This is an F-. This is one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever seen. There's very little redeeming about it. I pray that when aliens pick up the TV signals, they don't get this and take it as any sort of indication of what we're like as a species. Jerry Seinfeld, you've done some great things, and you've also made B-movie. God almighty. May have mercy on you.
In your soul.
I would give this a D because, I mean, mostly the animation was okay. I mean, maybe for the time, I thought it was like kind of okay. I mean, I didn't think this story was creative or original really in any way. So it was kind of meandering and the dumb B puns got. A really funny thing is that I guess this will be, you know, oh God, a good litmus for this is I was like, well, I got to watch this B movie for the podcast. And Jen goes, I'll watch it with you. And so I put it on within 5 minutes. She goes, it's pretty bad.
I want a divorce.
She goes, it's pretty bad. And then I was like, I know. And then I look over again and she's asleep. I was like, God damn it. And now I have to watch the B movie by myself the rest of the time. So it's definitely, it's not worth the time.
I did the same thing. Like Val fell asleep. I started watching it and my oldest came down to say goodnight because he was going to go to bed. And he was like, you're just watching B movie by yourself? And I was
by
like,
yourself.
I was like, yeah. He was like, you don't have to. And I was like, I kind of do.
It's homework.
It's for the podcast. He was like, oh.
You're like want to join? He's like, no.
Now, it was his bedtime. So he goes, brush his teeth, come back. And he's like, good luck, Dad. Good night.
You'd be funny if you're like, hey, champ. You want to stay up and watch with Dad?
Stay up
he's
with
like,
the old man.
He goes back up the stairs.
Oh, Dad, I just remembered some homework I have to do. Oh. Sorry, it's really important.
Yeah. Gotta do my homework, feed my taxes, feed the hog. So this is a different. D.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have as much vitriol.
For bees
nuts. F minus, like, you know, it's no, just I'm, like
I'm angry about this film.
It's certainly not good. All right,
So it's he who
slung this shit on us to talk about this thing. Apologize for it,
Craig. Why hath you forsaken us?
Yeah. You know what? For this, you lose your next turn. You lose.
No,
your next
turn. No, I don't. I pick good movies sometimes. Remember Do the Right Thing? That was me.
That's worth at least four B movies.
Yeah. No. You don't get four
Godzilla
passes.
Minus One, Barbie movie. These are good movies. I'm going to give it a D minus.
D minus. I like that minus in there.
A D minus. I will say I am giving it a D minus because I will counteract what I think what Brian said. I think it is an extremely original movie in that it is incredibly fucking weird. Like, it just goes on and on and keeps spinning further and further and further from where you think this movie was going to go when it started. And you're like, bees are landing a 747 on a bee-generated runway flower that's made of bees? They just, like, swung for the fences on this thing. And I don't even think they knew what they were swinging for. But by God, they hit something. They didn't know what they were making. And so they made something profoundly weird. A kids movie that isn't for kids. An adult movie that isn't for adults. A B movie that's really about people. And a people movie that isn't about anything at all. And you're like, what a fucking insane mess. And I have to give him credit. I can't think of a weirder movie I've ever seen.
I have one more thing that I forgot about. And it's because of the ending of the movie. The fucking off-brand cover of Here Comes the Sun at the very end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was
Sheryl
Crow.
How much money did they spend on that song? And so that was Sheryl Crow? It's a terrible cover.
Sheryl Crow. It's the worst cover of a Beatles song I've ever heard.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is the perfect ending to this movie. It is. Butchering the fucking Beatles.
cherry on top of the shit sundae. Yeah, it's like, wow, it's so bad.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the movie My Girl?
Happiness.
My Girl. A world
where she dies at the end.
No, where Macaulay Culkin plays that character Thomas J. that's allergic to bees and he gets stung and he dies.
Oh, he dies. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No. So I was envious of Thomas J. while watching this movie.
You had an EpiPen, but you still would have used
it. I just threw it away. Fuck it. Let's just end this.
All right. Well, I am now the happiest person on the planet because we can stop talking about B-movie. Next week, episode 23, Brian is up. Brian, what are we going to be exposed to?
Ants with a Z.
Fuck you.
No! No, Woody Allen. No, Woody Allen.
I've already seen that. I've seen that.
I haven't seen that at all. I can't do any more bug movies.
Jesus, I'm picking up a big sugar crystal. Oh.
I'm a big ant.
That's my Sylvester Stallone.
I'm married to my stepdaughter. She's an ant. Oh.
Soon Yi's in the fizz.
God damn it.
She's a larva.
Brian, what are we watching? Come on.
So,
come on, that's a solid joke.
It was good. No, it was good.
I wanted to revisit Christopher Nolan's Tenet. It's cool, and it's a movie that is a bit of a head scratcher. And so, this one is probably worth watching twice because it's very confusing. And I think that's fascinating about it. I like that type of stuff where I'm like, did I just miss something completely? And then you want to go back and rewatch it. So it's one of those films that kind of unfurls.
All right. We'll see you next week.
We'll be back next week. He just basically kills the entire Earth because he's a fucking idiot.